Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Hello, my name is Pietro and I want to tell you a brief story. I have learned so much from planet Earth these past years at school. For example, the weather influences the wildlife and the vegetation in each continent. Then the types of climates, such as the rainforest, desert, and tundra, are classified depending on average temperature and precipitation. I like to watch videos from Africa. My favorites are a wild elephant stampede running away from the chase of hungry lions, the hunting tactics of a leopard at night, and the ability of a lizard amazingly escaping alive from a group of snakes. Those are cool. My brother Davide likes the ocean a lot.
Yes, I love oceans.
Davide enjoys watching the beautiful views of the sea and gets excited when I show him pictures of all kinds of fish species. However, I read that our world's climate is changing and it might experience some drastic changes in the next 50 years.
How can it be possible?
Is it because high temperatures continue to break historical records? What is going to happen with the polar bears if both poles melt? Or with species like the salmon or many birds that are forced to migrate to cooler climates?
Will these animals survive? I'm frightened! And what about us?
Are we ready to adapt our lifestyles to effects of climate change? Have you ever thought about the industries and professions that might be disrupted by a warming world?
I'm scared that this is really happening. I would like to preserve my world, my planet, my Earth, as it is, but I'm also aware that we all needed to be ready.
Yes, we need to be ready for the worst case scenario. Are you ready?
Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More weekly podcast. My name is Heather McLeod and I'll be your host for today. We'll discover 10 professions and industries that are already feeling the impact of climate change. The first that comes to mind is agriculture. How are farmers adapting to higher temperatures?
Not only the climate is changing, new technologies have also developed to improve irrigation practices.
I got an idea!
Let's say that I'm a farmer and all my life I have lived right next to the lake. Therefore, I have had at my disposal unlimited amounts of water to irrigate my crops, so I never worry about droughts or water use at all. Nevertheless, this year the drought has affected the water level so much that I can only irrigate a couple of hours per day, and somehow I have to maximize my resources for another 2 months to collect the harvest.
What are you going to do?
There is a new technique called precision agriculture or satellite farming. Precision farming is based on observing, measuring, and responding to crops using drones or real-time sensors that obtain from a laser certain attributes, such as moisture levels, pH, or plant growth, to optimize returns on inputs while preserving resources. This sophisticated technology is relatively inexpensive and user-friendly. I'm confident it will become a big player in the future of agriculture and food supply.
And what will happen if you depend only on seasonal rain?
In any case, I will use this technology to obtain the nutrient levels, soil moisture, water availability, and other conditions to have the full picture of my crop, and therefore find the most suitable solution depending on my needs. Let me tell you that this technology is already in use in different countries. For example, here in the Umbria region of Italy, it's mostly used for olive oil crops, cereals, and vineyards.
There's no doubt that the wine industry faces an enormous challenge from water scarcity and climate changes in the region.
I was discussing this topic with a friend that owns a winery, and he shared with me some interesting knowledge about the plantation process. First of all, grapevines represent a long-term commitment. It takes a minimum of 3 years for grapevines to take root before producing any type of fruit. and then another 5 to 6 years to produce in a consistent way. Once established, the vine can live and produce grapes for 50 to 100 years. The weather conditions, sunlight, and humidity should be ideal. Heat waves and droughts expedite picking, influencing the quality and taste of wines. To give you a general idea, the sooner the grape is picked from the field, the sweeter the wine is produced. Same for beer. The three main ingredients are water, barley, and hops. Brewers are already concerned about climate change. It takes at least 3.5 barrels of water to produce 1 barrel of beer. Considering the concerns over droughts and water shortages, breweries have to find a way to reduce the amount of water used in the process. Now, let's look at barley and hops. Farmers are constantly stressed to provide the ideal conditions for growth. In fact, climate change has pushed some farmers to crops that grow in warmer environments and are more profitable in economic terms.
Indeed, irrigation problems, disease spreading in crops, high temperatures, and soil erosion due to extreme weather events are the main threats in agriculture.
Heather, let me ask you a question. Back in the States, do you practice any winter sport?
Yes, I like to ski when possible.
Awesome. But what if it's a very warm year? Don't you think winter resorts will close because of lack of snow?
To tell you the truth, this is very unlikely. I've been living all my life in Connecticut and I've always seen the mountain covered with snow.
Well, unfortunately, this already happened in California and in some other regions in the world. Climate change drought was responsible for closing several ski resorts back in 2015. Even if there is snow, I believe it should be thick enough to be able to slide on. Minimal increases in temperature can have serious economic consequences in winter resorts. And I'm not kidding. I mean, just imagine the Winter Olympic Games being cancelled because of poor snow quality or no snow at all.
Now it's time to go listen to My Voice 120. We'll be back very soon and communicating disaster risk reduction science and more.
Hello, everyone. My name is Palmira Cuellar from Mexico. I'm Earth Science Bachelor Student at National Autonomous University of Mexico. I'm founder and CEO of RELAT, a joint network about atmospheric sciences and meteorology in Latin America and the Caribbean. The disaster risk reduction is one of the topics we are working to achieve one of the targets of 30 Goal Climate Action of Sustainable Development Goals. It's very important to study the different weather and climate hazards that we have to face in the region to create resilient communities and cities in the future. The main social benefit is save lives, reduce human losses and economic impacts in our countries. Resilience and awareness are the keys to disaster risk reduction. About communication, we have to find a way to get more people interested. We need risk reduction and natural hazard students and early careers bring to the people the knowledge that actually the natural disasters are not natural at all. It must be necessary a common language between scientists and citizens, and we have to create a weather culture and climate literacy not only in Latin America and the Caribbean, also around the world. The open topic is, how are we empowering the Latin American people with poverty, inequality, and no information at least? For more information to achieve these goals with citizens' participation and citizen science, find us at relat.org.
And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back in communicating disaster risk reduction science and more. Do you agree with the affirmation that natural disasters are not natural at all?
According to Webster et al., in an article published in Science on 2012, showed that while the total number of hurricanes has not increased globally since 1970, the proportion of Category 4 and 5 hurricanes had doubled. Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria are clear examples. The same applies for droughts, wildfires, and rainfalls. We are all getting used to watching this type of breaking news in the TV or social media platforms more often than ever. I think the answer is clear.
Right. It seems that the tourist industry in the Atlantic and the Caribbean registered low revenues during hurricane season.
That's correct. Imagine that this past summer, you already made plans with all your friends to travel to Puerto Rico. You know, everything is ready. The flight is booked, and the hotel is booked, and Hurricane Maria, it's on its way.
Oh no!
Would you ever consider taking the airplane?
No way.
Travel destinations generally suffer a few days before, during, and after disaster strikes, meaning costly repairs and slow recovery. Islands and cities reliant on tourism act immediately in the aftermath of the disaster to reactivate the economy and, of course, get back on track sooner than later. Countries that value risk correctly bounce back better. Each natural hazard has their own impact and ramifications. Let's use sea level rise as an example. Beautiful islands such as the Turks and Caicos, Bora Bora, or even whole countries like Fiji depend on countering the impact of climate change. Even a small increase in sea level is considered a major threat for them. In fact, the South Pacific Archipelago nation is in the front line in climate change advocacy and constantly pushes for more global cooperation at the UN climate conferences. Citizens are already relocating to higher grounds. If sea level rising keeps persisting, the entire nation will be forced to become climate refugees.
Changes in weather patterns and effects of climate change are modifying the way we travel and the location we choose for living. I believe the Miami real estate industry is having a hard time dealing with sea level rising.
Florida has the highest number of residents and properties at risk from climate change than any other U.S. state.
Sorry for interrupting, but it seems that Miami is a great place to live. Wouldn't you like to move to Miami Beach sometime soon?
That's a very tempting question. The answer definitely goes out of the record. Honestly, I have seen reports and videos of fish in the streets of Miami at high tide on a sunny day. There is even people fishing on the streets. That doesn't sound right. Personally, I will look for higher ground or a safer location, unless the city main transport moves from cars to boats and my house main floor sits at an elevation that will be 2 to 6 feet, which the idea is not really out of perspective in the near future. Anyway, the city is rebuilding higher streets, installing water pumps, and raising the height of seawalls as mitigation measures to preserve property values. Think about it. In my opinion, for a property that is flood-prone every hurricane season, it might be a better option to sell it rather than paying high flood insurance rates or, in the worst case, to lose it all.
I hope these structural mitigation measures work for these folks. Extreme weather phenomena is having a ripple effect in today's way of traveling, increasing flight delays and cancellations, resulting in billions of losses in the industry, and of course, in more expensive flight tickets. What are we missing?
Take a guess.
I would say public health is also a main issue. I read that warmer temperatures can cause respiratory illness like asthma and allergies. I remember in some cities in China, people had to wear mouth covers during the summer months because air pollutants such as ozone are affected by temperature, thus the danger of breathing toxic particles is quite significant.
Great comment, Heather. Would you like to add anything else?
Not that I can think of. That's just my 2 cents.
Okay. At last, but not least, we have wildlife. This article from Yale explains that fishermen are figuring out where and when the fish are migrating because they're experiencing lower catch rates than previous years. Basically, they have 2 choices, either change their route or pursue different species. Species move to colder waters because they struggle to find food or are more susceptible to disease.
In today's show, we mentioned only 10 of many industries that are affected by climate change, including farmers, agriculture, breweries, wineries, winter sports, tourism, airlines, real estate, public health, and fishermen.
Next week, we'll talk about the National Disaster Risk Assessment produced by the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fregonio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Radiofonica.com.